We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to the True Faith Podcast. Newcastle United have beaten Crystal Palace 1-0 to deliver a sixth consecutive home victory at St James's Park, the likes of which we haven't seen since the days of Sir Bobby Robson back in April 2004. It's another fantastic night for the football club. I am hoarse. I got an injury celebrating Miggy's goal. We'll get onto that later. So I'm lucky to be here. I've hobbled all the way down. I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Corby and Ben Wade to talk us through what has been just another fantastic night supporting the football club. Miguel Almiron's 32nd-minute goal has taken Newcastle United to the dizzy heights of 11th place in the Premier League, level on points with 10th place Brighton, a goal difference of only 7, keeping us away from the top half. Miracles have been performed under Eddie Howe's helm so far. It's been a quite incredible season, but let's get into it. I'll start with you, Ben. How was that for you, mate? How's your night been? Another magic night on Tyneside.
It was, yeah. I mean, unbelievable first half. I thought we just controlled it. It was very similar to the Wolves game, but we actually created a lot of chances, and I thought we were really composed and carried a threat throughout that first half. Second half, we had to rely on just a stern defence, and you've got to just give a lot of credit to all 11 lads out there, ran their heart out tonight. And it was a tough scrap second half. But having said that, I don't really remember Palace really creating anything. I thought we kept their kind of threats, who I'm sure we'll come on to a little bit later on, but their big kind of threats never really got a foothold in the game and impressed us. And I just think it was an unbelievable performance. And as you say, the wonders, and we've been waxing lyrical about it on a number of podcasts, but the job Eddie Howe and Tindall have done with this defence. And when I say the defence, the unit of the whole team in terms of the midfield ran their socks off. With the wingers were coming back and when they needed to, and Wood was busy and putting himself about the whole game. But yeah, it's just an unbelievable time. And do you know what? It's like, I mean, even just staying at the end of the ground there, like, it's becoming kind of tradition, isn't it, for the fans to stay at the end of the games and kind of lap in the euphoria while the players do the lap around the pitch. And it's just, I've never known times like this. I mean, the Bobby years, I was probably a bit young for that anyway. But yeah, it's just class, like, being Toon fan at the minute, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, St James's Park has just become this fortress again, like it was previously, which we haven't had this for so long. And I just wondered, Mark, you know, three home games in a row, getting two victories in the first two. Was there maybe a danger that we'd sort of already done what we wanted to sort of set out and do in these three fixtures, and would fatigue set in a bit in the crowds, just because, you know, we ask, you know, the fans and the crowd to bring everything every game. Was there any danger that you thought that we'd maybe have a bit of a flat night, or were we always confident that we were going to create this cauldron to make it so difficult for the away team?
It's a great point, Adam. Based on Sunday, because Sunday was special for me, as you know, the David Kelly situation, being involved with the flag interview, and it was such an emotional day for me from a personal perspective. And it's come to 30 years this week. For me, to get a last minute winner, diving header at the Gallagher end, I thought that cannot be matched. But then when you look at the game tonight, I took 1-0 in the Pro View with Keith and Norman last week. I said we'll beat Palace 1-0. So the confidence was still there, Adam. When I got Newcastle tonight, just after 5 o'clock, yet again, the city was bouncing. The pubs were busy. Everyone was excited to see everyone. The text messages all day was, oh, I'm getting a half day. And I'm repeating myself, but this has been happening since the takeover happened. You know, people are excited to come back to the games. And we're probably going to be sounding like a bit of a broken record between the three of us and Alex and Charlotte and Norman, whoever's on the podcast. But the excitement's there. You know, when I listen to the match sort of analysis, what Alex did the other day, sitting outside in the sunshine with friends, looking forward to going and watching Newcastle United. It's there, it's back. And every game can't come quick enough. And when I turned up in the pub tonight, everyone was still confident. Everyone was still thinking, we'll win tonight. You know, and I'm like, well, Palace, great side. But before going to analysis of Palace and what they did and didn't do, I think everyone was still confident. So even though it was a difficult game overall, when Almiron scored that goal, when you look at the goal, which I'm sure we'll come into in greater detail, but Bruno's ball, the finish, it was a sheer eruption, just mentalness around me. And when I said before, I don't think it could have matched that last minute winner, it did. And it felt good.
It's absolutely fantastic. I lost myself in that moment. Like I said, I only realised I injured my leg about 10 minutes later. But you're right. The support, the sustained singing, and it was just, this is becoming not the norm for this club. This didn't used to. And what I saw tonight, and I've seen lots of like new faces. I'm seeing lots of younger kids come in, and a lot of them will be experiencing this for the first time, and you kind of want to like joke as you go out the stadium at the end kind of thing. It's not always like this. It didn't always used to be like this, but actually maybe it really, really can be like this all the time. Not, I don't mean winning every game. That's impossible and fanciful. Wow. Give us a couple of seasons first, and a couple of £50 million players, but it's this feeling, it's this palpable togetherness, this unity. I was speaking about the team photos on the preview pod on Patreon. And if you like what we do here, and if you like the content that we produce, please consider becoming a patron for only £6.60 a month. Loads and loads of new podcasts every month come part of that, up to 30, sometimes more. We've got the Pro View with Warren Barton, Keith Gillespie. We've got chats with Craig Hope with the Daily Mail. We've got loads of analysis, all the previews, loads of stuff with opposition fans as well. Really, really good value. Come and check us out if you're interested. We'd love to see you over there. But as I was saying on the preview, you know, I thought we'd go 2-0. I thought we'd be like more comfortable than it was tonight. Before the game, I thought I would take a 1-1 now. But selfishly, because I missed the Leicester game, I thought, well, I want my win. I want to see that again. And even though I knew it was, you know, maybe asking a bit too much, but I just was so confident that we would come with a game plan. We would make it, whatever happened, whichever team was put out, we would make it incredibly difficult for Patrick Vieira to come up here. As balanced, as impressive and solid a team as they are, we too much for them. They didn't actually bring anything. And we thought about, you know, Ben, did you think that their Wembley defeat played a part tonight? You know, the fact that, you know, that could have been season defining for them, getting into a FA Cup final. They didn't manage to do that. They've then had to travel hard, like all the way up the country on a Wednesday night to face, you know, that crowd in that stadium and that belief that's palpable everywhere in the stands. Do you think that played a part with Palace tonight, or do you just think we were too good for them?
I mean, it's a tough situation for them to be in, obviously. I mean, they'll have gone from the high of that day to obviously the crushing kind of disappointment of going out. But at the same time, the thresholds they hit there, you've got to kind of just let that go and move on. And I think, yeah, I mean, maybe that played into things why we were so dominant in the first half and why we kind of shut them down. But you kind of say that was an excuse for second half because they were back on the game and they took it to us, and I think that's why. And as you both said, that they're a very good, very well drilled team. Like they were moving the ball, they were doing all the right things, waiting for that opportunity. It just never came because we were so well drilled and and kind of matched them for everything they did. And as I say, it was just such an impressive performance. But I mean, I suppose you've kind of to counter that. I mean, from our standpoint, I mean, the run we've been on is unbelievable. I mean, obviously we had the display at the start of the game for Maxi, and I thought he ran his heart out. Again, he's kind of been a little bit unlucky in terms of things just aren't quite clicking for him yet, but he's still going, he's still running, he's still making those lung busting, those runs that are going to be terrifying defenders and things like that. So there's a lot of good things going for us as well, and I think that that's probably what has kind of pushed us over the edge and kind of just got us that result.
And just before we cut to a quick break, Mark, were you ever nervous in that last kind of sort of 15-minute spell where it really did feel like the Palace were squeezing us and really trying to force an error and trying to get something out of the game? It for me, it felt a bit, there was a bit of tension there towards the end. Were you confident that we would hold out?
You know what? It's one of those where you're always going to be nervous being a Newcastle fan, because we're used to, let's not go over old ground too much, but the Mike Ashley years, Steve Bruce football, or whatever that was. But you know when you look at the defence, you know that tonight was the fifth clean sheet in 13 games since we beat Leeds away. Now, some people might go, well, that doesn't sound good, but that's Newcastle United. We couldn't keep a clean sheet before that, apart from the Burnley game 1-0. Can't really remember getting many clean sheets under Steve Bruce.
I mean, even with Eddie when he first came in, we were still shipping a lot of goals first games, weren't we?
But, you know, a lot of people are pointing in the direction of, well, you spent 90 million in January and that's what's keeping you up. It's not. It's, again, we're going to go over old ground, but there's so many players have raised the game or getting that game risen because of the coaching staff and because of the new manager. But if you look at it from a collective point of view, Adam's touched on the fan base, he's touched on the atmosphere, the togetherness. It's not just the team, is it? It's everyone pulling together because we've been in the doldrums for so long. You go into that game, you're so excited, and sometimes it's a cliche, but it's true. The fans can't be that 12th man. And I've certainly seen evidence tonight to suggest that we were backs against the walls, but the fans did their bit to make sure we were going to win that game.
I think you're absolutely right. It isn't just the team, it's the club. Every opposition team coming up here to St James's Park has to face all of us, and few are managing to come away with anything in the minute, and it's fantastic. We're going to stop for a quick break now. If you don't like adverts, as I mentioned before, please come and join us on Patreon for $6.60 a month. It's a bargain for how much content Mark, Ben, and all the team pump out every week, every month. Please come and check us out, and we'll rejoin the podcast after these messages.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to the True Faith Podcast, where Newcastle have just beaten Crystal Palace, a sixth consecutive home victory. Things are looking good. 40 points on the board. Mark, I'll come to you. Just something that you touched on before about Eddie Howe. Now, one of the criticisms levelled at Eddie Howe when he first arrived at Newcastle United was his inability, his perceived inability to organise a defence. obviously, you mentioned on the clean sheets, and Ben very rightly alluded to the fact that the defensive displays that we're putting in, maybe sometimes they're not pretty, we're grinding things out, but actually it's a joy to watch because of that togetherness, that organisation that we just aren't used to as Newcastle fans. Have you been impressed by, how solid our defence has been under Eddie Howe, given that that was supposedly one of his weaker attributes.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at it from a point of view, you know, Newcastle fans apparently always want to be entertained. It's not entertainment to the level that your Bobby Robson years, you could even see under Pardew. Don't know, the Rafa years, were they entertaining? Probably not. But we're winning games. And at the minute, that is the most important thing. And when you keep winning games and you turn Stadium's partner fortress like it is now, you're looking at 6 wins at home in a row. But now, I had a quick check before we come on air, the last time we won 7 at home was we ended up winning 11 at home in the 2002-2003 season. 11 home games in a row. Now, yes, we've got Liverpool coming up, we've got Arsenal coming up, but come on. The way that ground is at the moment and the way we back them, it's not...
We're making up that -7 goal difference in them two games, isn't it? That's what you're saying.
Well, we are looking at it. That's a positive you say of it. Before we come, we're laughing, weren't we? Adam says we're 11th. I says no, we're joined 10th. It's your view of how you see it, and for us to even talk about us being 11th place on 40 points with what, 5 games to go, of which 2 of them are probably definitely winnable at Norwich and Burnley. You know, but to go back your point, Adam, I mean, the whole back five, let's include the goalkeeper here, and I've been one of his critics. I think he can be hit and miss. I think he's quite suspect. But the opposition are not getting the opportunities to trouble Dubravka. For me, it's all about Dan Burn. And yes, he was suspect for a couple of games. You know, you could say it was his mistake for his positional stance against Chelsea, possibly against Everton, when he played the ball in the midfield and the comeback and scored. And against Tottenham, the whole team got torn apart. But then you go back to St James' Park, 3 home games in a row against teams who you consider are better than us. They have been for many years. And we've won, in a way, comfortably. Even though our horses were nipping towards the end in each game, we've won comfortably because they didn't create much, because we never give them a chance to create anything. And you've got to be proud of the whole team from the front to the back, and were defended as a team. And it's not a joy to watch, not a joy to watch as in entertainment, but it's a joy to watch that team, and specifically that defensive unit, play in such a way that you've got confidence that they're not going to concede anything.
I mean, that's the perfect word, the confidence. I mean, the big thing that's impressed me is, and especially tonight, probably more so, is first half. I mean, how high a line we were playing with, and obviously that helps defend. But like, when you look at that back four, there's not a great deal of pace in there, and you're taking a massive gamble against Elise, Zaha, and Edouard. They were coming here expecting to try and get in behind. We're thinking, I don't remember a chance that they managed to pull off anything where they got in behind us. And as you say, the organisation that takes, and the character of them to kind of have the bottle to do it and pull it off. I mean, obviously, we kind of fell back and retreated in the second half, but to literally do it for the 45 minutes, and it's something we've been, obviously, Eddie's trying to drill it into the players, and it shows it works, like, when we can do it. But it's so impressive to kind of do it and maintain it, as I say, when you kind of... I mean, let's be honest, we've been talking about it a few times, like, these aren't players that are like star players. I mean, let's be honest, I don't remember anyone else kind of being linked with the players that we've brought in terms of Matty Target was, I mean, we were after the guy that he's been replaced by in Dean, and he was kind of left to the scrap heap, and it's like, well, Eddie said, no, we'll have him. Dan Burn, I don't think anybody was linked with. 13 million is a steal as well. For an English Premier League centre-back to pay 13 million, he obviously wasn't particularly that highly rated by anybody. And then you've got Shaw, who was kind of a forgotten man under Bruce, had kind of been thrown to the scrap heap, and I think he just didn't fancy him, just didn't rate him. And then Emil Kraft, who was brought in as a backup, and shouldn't, a lot of people, and probably I'm included, would have said shouldn't be anywhere near a Premier League team a few months ago. And you look at the performance of the putting in, I mean, Kraft today was unbelievable.
He did really well. And I think what you touched on there, Ben, it's about focus. Now, there was a lot made about physical fitness when Eddie came in, and you know the players were slow and they were fatigued and they just weren't mobile. And now we are mobile, but actually there's another side of the fitness, of the concentrate. It's the mental fitness and that the ability to be able to hold concentration right till the end when we're under the cosh, like you say, against Leicester, against Palace tonight, we had to concentrate right till the end. We couldn't have let that slip because they would have scored. And that's one of the most impressive things for me. Now, when it came to that first half and Palace defending, and Palace have a pretty good defensive record as well, you know, one of the best goal differences in the whole of that bottom half. The best goal difference in the bottom half. And I noticed that we tried to use the wings a lot and we kept getting blocked out by Palace. They did very well. We kept having to go back to fullbacks, passing along the back, try up the other wing. And I thought Palace did quite well to kind of to quell us, to sort of keep us in check. I mean, let's talk about the goal, which I'm sure everyone's dying to hear about. I mean, there was a bit of an altercation with Zaha and Bruno and a bit of chatter here and there. Miggy gets involved as well. The crowd goes well. I think it's a case of Zaha. You know,
it was just the aperitif to what was about to come, wasn't it?
Well, the poetic justice. I mean, Zaha was probably feeling a bit irrelevant. He wanted to be a bit about him, so he starts kicking up a fuss. People start booing him, so he feels loved again. Weirdly, I think if people stopped booing, he'd hate it. I think he needs that. He needs the attention. But obviously, he was probably doing that to kind of ruffle our feathers, to sort of put us off our game. But then what happened next after that was just truly brilliant from Bruno Guimarães's. I mean, I was right next to it. The slice, the backspin on that pass was just when it was high in the air, as high as it was going before it dropped. I just knew it was perfect. I knew it was going exactly where it needed to go. You knew Miggy was going to nod it on because that's what he does, and his pace just burned. I believe it was Mitchell and. Ben, how was that finish for you, mate?
Well, just before I disagree. I didn't think he was going to get there. We were sat beside the match. We thought when Miggy gets his head to it, Mitchell's in place to just muscle him out. And Miggy, being who he is, I just thought he'd get muscled out. But he does so well to hold his ground and get ahead. And then, my God, what a finish!
Like, finish right in the top corner where the owl sleeps. Mark Corby,
yeah.
What was the goal like for you? Or did you expect such an emphatic finish from Miggy Almirón, someone who we haven't really come to expect solid finishes from, but bloody hell, he didn't let us down.
You know what, Adam? He's one of many players for me who are playing for that future and you really want them to come good because you can see there's a footballer in there. We've got a few players you touched on, Kraft, before. Let's be honest, he's probably not going to be around here when we start moving forward. Trippier will be number one, and we'll probably get someone who's going to be better than Trippier. But you look at Almirón, you think, yeah, there's definitely a player in there. We've seen it under Rafa as part of the front three. And the way he played on Sunday, I thought, he's still got something there. He's still a valuable member of the team. Or the squad, even. And you can't knock the fact that Fraser deserved his place, and Fraser changed the dynamic of the team. He's graft, his endeavour. Totally different type of player to St Maximum. But for me, when that ball got to Almirón, I thought he's confident. I didn't expect him to put it in the top corner. But Christ, he cut inside, left foot, top corner, ran at the Leeds end. Couple of minutes later, I realised he was getting booked for taking his top off. So he's copying off Bruno, which, you know, I feared. He's not as ripped as Bruno, of course. But look, from a fan's point of view, I had a perfect view going up the touchline from the strawberry corner. And when I hit the back of the net, it was disbelief, but just sheer eruption. Because you've got, yet again, an unbelievable moment at St James's Park under this sort of new Newcastle United. And do you know what? Bring on the next game.
It's phenomenal. I mean, It was just the poetic justice of, you know, Zaha trying to rattle us. But then again, there's an important point to be made because our concentration, our professionalism under Eddie Howe, like we didn't lose our head. And what happened, the two players involved in that little scuffle or whatever the hell it was for us, Bruno and Miggy, just let their football do the talking. And within a minute of that incident, minute and a half, we were 1-0 up. And absolutely buzzing with it.
Just a quick point on that. This is what I was going to say about the game towards the end when we tried to nullify Palace. Newcastle United have been too soft for far too long. But if you noticed, Joe Linton was doing it, Shelvey was doing. All they were just nudging the players off, taking cheap free kicks. Oh, sorry, ref, I've just bumped into him. That is Newcastle United being bastards, basically. Man City are very good at it. Liverpool are very good at it. Snide tackles, I'll call them. But if you're not going to get bookings for them, just do them. Mm-hmm. And that epitomised the goal, the incident, epitomised the new Newcastle, because we're starting to be that arsehole of a team where we're going to be snide, we're going to put in little nasty little tackles. And we've touched on it since January, since the good run. And Alex Hurst has mentioned it on so many occasions. He loves that, because there's nothing better than seeing your player turn on. Well, I'm not going to let you take the mic out of me. I'm going to get in there first. I'll take a booking for this. And for me, that goal is quite sweet in a way, because it was an incident that ended up being a beautiful goal. But when the back's against the wall towards the end of the game, we just kept doing it. And to be honest, that's almost as enjoyable as seeing a goal come at the back of the net, just being snide.
Absolutely, and it feeds into the fact that at the start of the season, we were just a walkover. We were so easy to play against. But now, I mean, you know, Palace's response to that, obviously they squeezed us a lot more. But I'm looking at those four. I mean, by the end, they had four strikers on. It was a bit of a kind of Steve Bruce move. Let's hoist some strikers on. That'll make us more formidable. But I kind of thought that they sort of lost their shape a bit. There wasn't enough creativity. I know Elise kind of came off, well, just before half-time, wasn't it? Yeah. And they kind of lost a bit of that kind of playmaking, dribbling action. And they ended up with Mateta, they ended up with Edouard, who I think came a little bit deeper.
Yeah,
Zaha on the left, and then Ayew had come on as well. But for me, it felt like they, as much as they were starting to, they absolutely dominated that second half and were really pushing up into our own half, and we had to keep our wits about us. There wasn't much structure there. They weren't able to create, because I don't think the formation was there. The system wasn't quite right. They just hired a load of centre forwards up, and I think they probably needed better balance, and that's possibly one of the reasons why they weren't able to trouble us. But give us some thoughts on another fantastic performance from Bruno Guimarães. I feel like he ran the show, and I also felt that he was slightly targeted as well. If we're talking about shithousery, Mark, Palace were definitely targeting Bruno, you know, snapping in his heels, going in late. I thought that Gallagher challenge was a bit naughty as well. But he didn't let it put him off. He still gave the performance that he wanted to give. Bruno was fantastic again, wasn't he?
He revels in it. And you're spot on in terms of the shithousery, as we'll call it. But it's like, it's playing with that aggression. It's like, it's almost controlled aggression. And you're spot on. Like, there was a few, as you say, the tackles that were coming. But that's Bruno's game. He revels in that battle. And, I mean, he ran the show. And you're right in terms of picking out the play. I mean, I was really shocked today with how Gallagher really struggled, I thought. And Bruno, I mean, he looks a brilliant player, and he's been this player that everyone's waxing lyrical about, saying, oh, he's going to be part of the Chelsea team next year, and he's this and that, he's an England national, and he couldn't get anywhere near Bruno, and Bruno was snapping at him, and I think that's where that foul came from, was that was a reaction, like a petulant reaction to him, kind of just fed up with basically us getting away with pretty much everything, and he just snapped, and I kind of was expecting more of that from them, to be honest. And I suppose it's credit to Vieira, probably kind of cooled him down a bit at half time, but you could see that way the incident was Zaha before the goal, and then there was that, and there was a couple of other little bits where you just felt they were maybe boiling over. But he's just a nightmare to play against. He's just doesn't stop 90 minutes. I mean, you get to the 89th minute and you're thinking, flip neck, like we've been running at the ground here. And who's the man charging forward, beating men, wins the foul in the corners? Bruno at 90 minutes when he's had to do all that running. He's just an incredible player. But he's got everything about him. He's classy on the ball. He can pick a pass. I mean, the pass is unbelievable for the goal. Like, before the pass, he brings it down on his chest and with players around him from the throw-in or something. And it's just something I've not seen as a Newcastle fan. Maybe there's a little bit of kind of different players. There's a little bit of the class of Kabay probably in there. But he's also got like the tenacity of almost like Joe Linton, I suppose, that he's showing at the minute. And there's probably other better examples in there. But he's just a wonderful player to watch. And like, I mean, that he's making the Premier League look easy at the minute. He's dominating Premier League midfield since he's come into the team. And let's be honest, he didn't start straight away, and he had a tough game against Everton when we got beaten. I was one of them kind of doubting where will he fit into this team in terms of you're probably going to have to drop Shelvey because he can't seem to, but he's managed to turn him, and we were talking about this the other day, turn into a number eight now. He does everything. Brilliant going forward, brilliant defensively, and he's just the kind of personality you want on the pitch fighting with you, and he's unbelievable.
He's got the makings of a world-class midfielder. I think he's on the way there. I think he's got a little bit of development yet and to settle into English football, but I think the way that he's been managed, his minutes have been managed, his integration into the team has been managed, and look at the performances we're getting. I mean, just world-class. Like, how many times did he just flick a ball over his head, Mark, to get himself out of trouble? How was his performance for you?
It's just incredible. The beautiful thing about it is he's our player. And if that's the sign of where Newcastle United are going, then give us more, please. Because, like you say, the flicks over the head, the turns, the passing, the movement, box to box. I'm struggling. Ben mentioned Johan Cabaye there. I'm struggling to think of a more complete midfielder. The closest I can think back to from someone who sort of a little bit back to front in a way, Robert Lee was more of a winger, went in as an attacking midfielder, and he scored goals for fun. Bruno is not known as a goal scorer, but he's got three already. So I'm looking and thinking, can he be as good as Robert Lee? People might laugh at this and think, you're joking, aren't you? It's a £40 million, well, whatever he costs. We don't know officially. He's a Brazilian international. How can you put Robert Lee as good as him? But look, I've seen Robert Lee for 10 seasons. One of the most complete midfielders I've ever seen.
He really was. I really loved him.
Bruno's got a long way to get to that consistency, but from what I've seen so far, lads, we've got to play on our hands.
Absolutely, and he's saying all the right things as well. You know, he feels that affinity with the fans, and that's obviously reciprocated because he's class. but he, you know, as Ben said, he's running the show. It already feels like he's comfortable here. He is now, and he's undroppable. Yeah. You can't drop Bruno unless, you know, I guess you want to give him a rest. But he will not be nudged out of that midfield now. He's now too integral. He's too important. We're going to take another quick break, some more adverts. If the adverts annoy you, then why don't you join our Patreon for $6.60 a month? Loads of content, loads of podcasts every month. We cover all angles about Newcastle United. We'll catch up with you in a few seconds.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the True Faith Podcast with your host, Adam Widdrington, joined by Mark Corby and Ben Wade. It's been an incredible night, a real team effort. Are there any other performances that you want to talk about? We've spoken about Miggy a bit, and you know how that we feel that kind of that goal and that performance had been coming the last few games. We've talked about Bruno's dominance and just what an absolutely incredible footballer he is. Who else impressed you tonight?
I mean, the one, obviously, I think you've got to give a shout out to Emil Kraft tonight. That was my big, big worry tonight going into this was what's Wilfred Zaha going to do? And especially when you think back the last three games, he's come up against real tough challenges and pacey wingers. I mean, I don't remember Luckman having a sniff at anything really. Obviously, I know he scored the goal, but in terms of the open play, didn't really get anything. And tonight, he just... there was a couple of balls in the second half where he was kind of high balls where he was getting caught under them and kind of lost his bearings a little bit, but they didn't come to anything. And the big thing for me is the biggest criticism I had was that I'd rarely seen a Premier League defender getting skinned as easily as he was when he first signed for Newcastle. Like literally, a ball would be played past him, and the players win. You just don't see that very often at this level. But you don't see that anymore. He's fixed that part of his game. He's anticipating things better. He's in a better position. You can tell he's been coached to kind of eradicate those weaknesses. And you know, on top of that, he's starting to get more comfortable going forward as well. I mean, there was a few options tonight where he kind of carried the ball. I think there's a lot more to come from him in that, in terms of he needs more confidence. He needs to kind of back himself to kind of carry the ball into space. But I was really, really impressed, because that was kind of the big thing I thought they would target, and they got absolutely no change from him tonight.
For me, it would have to be Shelvey. I've been his biggest critic for a long time. I think I said on one of these podcasts under Steve Bruce that I wouldn't care less if Shelvey was never seen a black white shirt again. I did say in the 6 years that he's been at the club, he for me hasn't improved as a footballer. But now you look at him, and we're talking about integral players in the team. He's one of them. And you know, for Bruno gets the glamour, he gets the sort of the sexiness of a football match, Shelvey just goes about his business. And it was funny, because on Sunday against Leicester, I said after 5 minutes, Shelvey's blown out of his arse. He's not going to last 90 minutes. He had a great game. He ended up coming into the game. I think he understands his limitations now. Whereas in the past, I think Shelvey wanted to be the best player on the pitch. And again, we're talking about players who are saying the right things. His interviews this week are really refreshing. He knows his limitations. He knows his place. He knows he's not going to be there when we start contending for cups and trophies, Champions League places. But he knows that he wants to play a part in Newcastle United, which isn't doom and gloom. And that's what he's been used to in the 4-5 years before the takeover, before Eddie Howe, and before this, you know, as I said before, Newcastle, which includes the fan base, includes a raucous atmosphere. So Shelvey for me, and I'm happy to hold my hands up and say I'm eating my words, because the longer Shelvey goes on and plays like that, the more I'll be delighted, because I'm really pleased he seems to be a hugely important player on the team.
The big thing for me, I mean, I've never doubted Shelvey's technical ability. Technically, he's a brilliant footballer, but it was the fitness element. It was that he just didn't look like he could last at this, especially when you think, I mean, this Premier League era, you've just got athletes like running the show in midfield, and you have to be like at the top of your kind of physical status. But I mean, you've got to give a bit of credit to Eddie in terms of, I think that he stuck with a three-man midfield, which is pretty unconventional in this kind of day and age, and the fact that he's surrounded him by players that have got the legs. So I always felt like it was Shelvey and another, it was either a Longstaff or Hayden or someone, and they had to do so much running, so much ground to cover to kind of protect that back five ultimately. It ran him into the ground, and I think he got shown up at times because he couldn't do it. But I think the beauty of having a Joe Linton and Bruno or Willock or whoever it is either side of him, he can kind of focus, and as you say, he does still put the graft in. I mean, as you say, he was blowing after 5 minutes against Leicester. I mean, tonight he was still covering the ground. He's still positionally in the right place, and he's still grafting really hard. But it's kind of his pitch has been completely kind of shortened into kind of just a 20-yard box, almost square box or whatever, where it's just that's his territory to play in. He doesn't have to worry about getting out to the wingers and all that sort of stuff. And that's revolutionised his game, because it's given him the energy to last the 90 minutes and do what he does best.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it's all about role. It's all about how he's used. Like you say, his technical ability has never been under question, but he's not an all-action midfielder. At least he wasn't, because actually now, I mean, do you remember when it used to be, well, Shelvey never covers ground, he never runs, and then he stats about how distance ran, and he was like, well, I know I'll run, even if it doesn't look like I do. But under Eddie Howe, it feels completely different. His defensive contributions are very, very clear to see. They're evident. They're, everyone can see it. Getting tackles, tracking players, runs, like he takes responsibility. And as you said, Mark, you know, he's been saying things in the press this week with an interview with Keith Downey of Sky Sports. And, you know, he's saying things like, I want to show the club that I warrant a couple more years. I'd happily hold my hands up and say, I don't deserve to be here if I felt I can't play at this top level anymore, but I want to stay as long as I can be a part of it all. And he's even saying, you know, if Bruno drops in to do his thing, I stay away as much as possible, but I'm there to cover him. I'll play left back. I just want to play for this club. That's not the Shelvey that we ever imagined. And look how, you know, he mentioned as well about, you know, being only, you know, he stayed at club for 3 years and then move on, but he feels settled here. He loves playing at St James's Park. It's this matters to him. And as someone who's we never really saw a lot of personality wise. Quite a stoic player on the pitch, and to hear him talk like this, what is, you know, how excited he is for the future of the club with the takeover and where we, the ambition and where we could get to. And you're right, Mark. He's an absolutely influential member of that dressing room. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly important. And it would take a lot, I think, at the minute for him also to be dropped. But I think there's a maturity there, and is again his decision making mentally he has developed, no question under Eddie Howe.
The biggest compliment I can give him is that I think he's been an ever present since we beat Leeds away, and if you look at it, we've won 9 in 13, which is just incredible. So, you know, we could probably go through the whole team, to be honest, but when you see someone who you've thought is flattered to deceive for such a long time, and when he was getting, for me, false praise from Steve Bruce and from Steve Bruce applaudits, or Steve Bruce apologists even, saying he's made John Joe Shelvey into this top-class player. Well, he hasn't, because he was always a top-class player. He was just in the wrong side, managed by the wrong manager for me. But look, lads, you know, I just want to stay positive, and for me, like I said before, it's Shelvey on form, playing a part in this side that's won, you know, 9-13. It's just what dreams are made of, lads.
I mean, the biggest thing and the biggest compliment, and I pay them all, and like, I mean, especially for the recruitment of the players that they brought in, like, for a long, long time, there wasn't any players that I particularly like had any feeling towards, in terms of, I didn't really have a favourite player. There was a little bit of a disconnect there, obviously, through the years with Ashley. But I mean, obviously, the players were great, but like, I don't know, I just didn't kind of feel enamoured with them. You watch these lads coming in now, and 1 or 11, like, they all look like they want to be here. They're giving their everything, like they're everything you would kind of want. They're encapsulating everything you would want in your players. You hear Bruno, a £40 million player, who, when he comes in, you kind of think, like, I've heard people saying, oh, well, this is a stepping stone for him. He's talking about wanting to be a legend here and stuff. It's like, that's not the kind of talk of someone that's here as a stepping stone in their career. Shelvey talking about wanting to be a part of what he knows is going to become and stuff like that. It's just so refreshing to kind of see that, like, just that, the togetherness of the players, and kind of the love that they've got for this club that obviously we've all gotten, like, that's only going to grow and grow, and that can be like harnessed to be something to kind of push everyone forward. If everyone's invested and built to kind of push this club on, like, we're going to be in an unbelievable position.
Special times. Well, I'd love to be talking about Newcastle United all night, lads, but I think we all have earned our beds. Listeners, thanks so much for sticking with us. Once again, if you want to hear more of what we do, $6.60 a month on Patreon gets you up to 30 extra podcasts every single month. We'd love to see you over there. But for now, we'll be back after the Norwich game on Saturday, where we'll go down to Carrow Road and hopefully, let's get another win, eh? It feels unstoppable at the minute. And it's going to take a lot for Norwich to stop this side brimming with belief and confidence. Let's make it another 3 points. Thanks for listening. I've been Adam. Thanks to Mark and Ben for joining us tonight. Thank you, listeners. And we'll catch up with you very, very soon. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.